Mayor.
Hello and welcome to Cinema Subculture, the podcast where we discuss everything strange, obscure and downright messed up in the world of movies. My name's Gary.
And I'm Simon. On this episode of Cinema Subculture, we're going to be looking at The Machine Girl.
Is this what episode is this?
Oh yeah, this is like episode 16.
16, aye.
See how I just knew that, Gary?
Yeah.
Directed by and written by Noboru Iguchi. And it was released in the US and Japan in 2008. I think it was out here 2009. Do you want to give us a bit of a synopsis, Gary?
After our brother is killed by some local bullies, Amy sets out on a revenge mission to capture the perpetrators.
Capture? I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
Unleash some terror.
Holy terror, yes. Unholy terror.
And in the process, she gets her arm amputated. Sorry, it gets a machine gun put on it.
Oh, you're giving away the spoilers?
Aye. It's in the title.
What? It's not. It's the machine girl. It's not the machine gun arm-wielding girl.
You know it's coming.
Sure.
Some machine-like.
I guess if you've seen the cover. So, the quote from the front of the UK release is, "A film so incredibly outrageous that it couldn't possibly exist." I'd say that's kind of fitting. With the themes and imagery that we see. What was your thoughts, Gary, on this film?
Basically, I absolutely hated this film.
You hated it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry to say that.
It's not my top 10.
Yep. Basically.
Oh, Gary just turned red. You can't believe how angry he is. He hates it.
My problem with this film, I guess, is basically takes its audience for granted straight away. I mean, I know it's meant to be fun and all that, but the premise of this film is basically you like exploitation films, you like violence and gore, we can do that. You'll like this. You must like this if you like that. I say, no, mate, I'm not playing the game here.
Definitely. Oh, man.
You can't assume. Never assume. It's basically just such cynical filmmaking for me. And I feel, maybe develop this point later, but it doesn't respect its sources.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
For me.
It's as if it's, as you say, it's stealing from everything it can and trying to get as many people to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, taking from as many... I mean, the director's from like a... Well, AV, they call it. Adult video, I guess. So it's like porn he made before he started making mainstream films, and like he's got everything in there, you know what I mean? Okay, there's no actual nudity or anything in it, but he's got all the kind of the themes. In fact, there's actually a few of his porn star actors that he used in these other films, and this film obviously just there to kind of pull in the audience. I mean, I'll totally admit that this was a blind buy for me.
Right.
I just thought it looked kind of like stupid title kind of thing, and I told you I actually got it for like, I think it was like £7 or £8 on Blu-ray when it just came out, and the DVD was still like maybe like £15 or £16. And I just thought, fuck it, you know, and I grabbed it, and I find this film kind of fun to watch, like funny, like the amount of times I just can't believe what is happening,
right?
And can't believe, I'm thinking, you know, like a basic example is when she gets gets her hand dipped in the batter and then gets it fried. And then all of a sudden she's up to the elbow and looks like something from the sea.
Right.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
And some of the dialogue, the crazy parents, like the parents who first visits to kind of ask the boy who's leader of the gang and stuff like that, they just go mental on her and just start trying to kill her. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It takes the piss in every possible way. But definitely, I definitely see your point, what you're saying about, like, you like exploitation, here's us blowing things up and people up. And it's not even if you take that for granted and you say, okay, that's fine, so that's the kind of quality of film it is, it's not even very well made. Like, you know, at least if it was well made, you could kind of say, okay, this is kind of skillfully made. You know, you could maybe give some sort of kind of redeeming feature to it, but the special effect, the CG is horrendous.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Right as you say, in the first 5 minutes, there's a scene which actually doesn't work in the chronology of the film. Like, when does that take place?
Oh, aye.
I remember thinking that, like, when I watched it the first time, I was waiting for that to kind of fit in.
Right, aye.
But it fits nowhere in the film. You know? And it's just, and you say, like, just that point, and like, she's spraying bullets and barely hitting anyone, and...
Mm.
But, as I say, I do find it amusing.
Right. I left a bad taste in my mouth, because you've got completely overblown cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, intentionally, from what I assume is intentionally bad acting.
Yeah, I've got to admit that the main actress, Amy, she quite valiantly pulls off some of the cheesiest stuff I've ever seen in cinema. Right. You know what I mean? She's the best of the cast, definitely. And from what I can gather, she was a, I can't remember the name for it in Japanese, but she's basically a lingerie model.
Right.
Like, would bend nuts or something like that, right? But she does all this kind of, which looks like most of her stunt work, you know, whatever it is. So she kind of, she puts her kind of heart into it, if you know what I mean. But yeah, the rest of it's, you know,
yeah.
It's like, oh my
You've
God.
Got, like, actors...
Although that wee fucking smug wee bastard, that's the wee boy, that the Yakuza's son.
Might
punch that wee fucker's face out of pulp. So he can act alright.
Yeah, I mean, you've got scenes where it's just total mugging for the camera.
Yeah.
And it's
there,
like...
there is a scene actually where the look at the husband and wife that are making the machine gun look at the camera after they've finished.
Yeah.
It's like...
now you've got crazy use of like freeze frames and slow motion, like just total over the top. I mean, the acting... Obviously, that's deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think so? It's not like it's a low-budget film. That's and the CGI as well, I meant to bring
think,
up there.
You think that's
which
deliberate?
Is, yeah, because I think it's playing on... It's basically expecting you to like it because it uses, like, the form and grammar of traditional exploitation.
Right.
But the problem with that is it doesn't respect the source because... If somebody's making an exploitation film like in the 60s or 70s, they're not saying, right, we're making exploitation, so therefore we have to have a bad script and bad acting. They are products of the mode of production. Like, this is a point that Eric Schaeffer makes in his book, History of Exploitation Films. The budgets and the way the films are made so quickly determines the fact that they have to use, like,
untrained actors,
bad script.
Mm-hmm.
Actors just starting out. So therefore, those are secondary factors. But this was thinking, right, we're going to make an exploitation, so we'll make the acting specifically bad. And then people will say, oh, that looks like this, all the other films that I like.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. My first instinct was that, no, that this is totally, they're trying to play it as best they can.
Mm.
It
was totally contrived for me.
I don't know. I can see where you're coming from.
Right.
I can see why. But again, that seems like almost too clever of an idea to try and do that. Like, too much thought into it to try and do that. I don't know. You know, because again, it's like they're using like, and I'm not, God, I'm not dissing porn stars at all, right?
Yeah.
God, they have their purpose. You know what I'm saying, Gary? You know what I'm saying, Gary. Guy knows what I'm saying. But they're using like, you know, adult film actors in main roles. So really, you saying that they're saying act bad, act worse?
Yeah. And it's to do with it's edited so they'll specifically put a shot in of a close-up of a guy putting a funny face.
Well, I would grant you that the editing, maybe, I get what you're saying.
That's intentional by the director.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Again, I think that's coming from the kind of trying to make it, kind of, tongue-in-cheeky, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's trying to be kind of really funny, but also kind of ironic. It's like playing with exploitation form. I mean, it's not just this film, because there's other films recently that have done the same thing, like Piranha 3D.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Like, it seems to be...
Did you see Piranha 3D?
I didn't see the whole movie, right, but I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
It's almost a parody of a parody. Working so far down the rabbit hole, you kind of forget where the source came from.
It's like, it's a parody trying to play straight, almost, isn't it? It's like, because it's obviously a remake, pseudo remake of Piranha, right?
Mm.
But then you have the fact that it's trying to be an 80s film.
Because
it's kind of, you know, playing up to those kind of stereotypes of an 80s film.
Yeah.
And then there's some very wild, over-the-top characters in it.
Yeah.
But then you get the main characters playing it straight. So it's not quite like your kind of scary movie where everyone's kind of playing it like wacky.
Yeah.
You know? But it's almost like a kind of third generation parody.
Yeah, Jaws and then Piranha was kind of a rip off of
Jaws. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even that has some integrity to it. I think you've got Joe Dante.
Yep.
But then with Piranha 3D, it's playing on a tongue-in-cheek expectation from the audience, and it just leaves itself in a total vacuum for me. There's nothing in that film.
It's not helped by the 3D factor. Because, I mean, you know that's the only reason that film was remade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of get the fact that that's... Like, most of the gags, you know, quotation marks in that film could only have been done in 3D. The only reason to do them is because they're in 3D. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I take your meaning though. But this feels like a kind of, it could fit in with the kind of, not that I've seen this film, but what was it, Lesbian Vampire Hunters? Was released, you know, or like the Scary Movie type parody of films without actually, you know, name checking films. This could kind of fit in with that, I guess. But, I mean, those aren't very good either, so, you know.
Other films that do that would be probably the Grindhouse films, Death Proof and Planet Terror.
Yes, uh-huh.
I haven't seen Planet Terror, so I can't really compare it to that. But I think the difference maybe with Death Proof, you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that although that's kind of toned a similar line, I feel Tarantino, even though he's not really that original, in my opinion, he's coming from a much more sincere place.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really trying to rip off the films that he's referencing, he's just saying, I love these films.
Yeah.
You should love them as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's more a kind of homage. It's a bit less, it's a bit more benign.
Yeah.
Than what this film is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Better Made as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't seen any of those films that came from the trailers, like Machete, Hobo with a Shotgun. I don't know how they...
Well, it was Hobo with a Shotgun? I think so. Greenhouse trailer as well? I knew Machete was. Apparently Machete wasn't that great. They are making a sequel to it, Machete Kills, but...
All right. I don't know if they end up in the same place as Piranha 3D or not.
Well, Machete was a character developed in the Spy Kids films.
Was I?
Did you know this?
No.
You know how Rodriguez did the Spy Kids films, right? You seen any of them?
No.
No. Really. It's like, I don't know. I really like Robert Rodriguez, right? But I don't know when he... I would never watch that. I've tried watching a wee bit, and it's just, I guess he made it for his kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what it is aimed at, you know? But anyway, their uncle is Machete Cortez, right? And it's played by, what's his name? The guy that plays Machete. So then they spun him off into his own film, which is like a totally adult, like violent film.
Mm.
It just seems so weird, but it's the same guy meant to be.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's a bit, you know... weirdly meta, but it's kind of, I don't know. But I think you're right, that does fit into the kind of the same kind of thing. I was kind of thinking, it's almost like an adult, maybe not, a gorier version of like a Saturday morning cartoon show.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like with all the kind of big gestures and the dialogue even, you know what I mean? Some of the dialogue was just horrendous. There's a bit where Amy's going to help her brother before he gets like killed, and she knocks over the guy's drink or whatever.
Right.
And the three guys start to like try and like sexually assault her.
Aye.
And then from nowhere she just hulks out, knocks them off her, and says, "You've pissed me off."
Mm.
It's just like, did you notice that like, everyone seems to hulk out at that point?
Right.
Like, her brother like goes mental and starts punching that guy,
right.
And the wee Takeshi takes off his specs and actually goes. Arr!
Yeah.
That was funny. but just out of nowhere. What's the explanation for that? But I mean, it's just some of it's horrendous, and the acting, well, the delivery goes from, like, I think there's another bit at the end where she's basically like dead. She's been hurt quite bad before she takes on the guy, the father, and then when she kills him, or when he gets killed, she turns, goes from being this kind of, ah, you know, like, kind of, I will kill you, to being like, I know you would die. Right. You know, kind of, you could only die.
Yeah.
Why didn't you die before? You might as well have died. So, you know, it was just, could you see I've never really watched any, like, samurai films or anything like that. Could you see any kind of things that were taken from that genre? I know there was some, you know, there was some light sprinklings of kind of that culture.
Right, yeah. One thing I can think of is, I mean, blood spotting quite aggressively everywhere. That's that's maybe from Sanjuro Kurosawa's samurai film.
Right, right.
As a quite a famous scene where a guy gets.
I mean, again, cut. Like Tarantino did that quite a bit in Kill Bill and things like that.
Can't say I'm that familiar with, like, kung fu exploitation type films. But that's got a lot of stuff like guys flying through the air, hanging in the air, for like 10 seconds.
There's a bit you're talking about, bloodletting, like the bit where the Yakuza father just cuts his arm and like starts like making his son drink his blood. Like it just seemed to go on for ages.
Mm.
Like, is that like, take that's exactly what you're talking about when you're saying like just kind of aping the hell out of things?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, what was other kind of films like this? Like The Lady Snowblood?
That's not, I don't think it's a parody.
No, just in terms of like the kind of revenge, female revenge flicks.
Yeah, well, Lady Snowblood and, well, I guess Kill Bill was obviously like a kind of, not a remake, it was an homage to that.
Aye.
What else we got? Aliens.
Right.
Ripley's getting back to that planet, she's like, I'm going to fuck you up. That's it. What else we got?
I don't know.
Snow White 2.
Snow White 2.
Ah, see, it's fucking like, I'm gonna kill you, evil queen woman. Don't like fucking apples.
I spit in your grave, I guess, to some extent.
Oh, sure,
that's
sure.
Your rape revenge subgenre.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's definitely kind of playing on that. I'm sure there are far more, and there may even be more. I mean, what's that film? Is it Lady Vengeance?
Oh, yeah. Shamrock Park.
Yes.
I haven't really seen any of his films. Oh, it's The Old Boy.
I've never seen Old Boy. But,
right.
But, that from the title would imply female vengeance.
Yes.
Of some sort. So, yeah, so it's obviously playing on those themes. And again, you've got the biggest theme that's playing on is we'll get cute girls with a machine gun for a hand.
Mm.
That's pretty much it.
Mm.
I mean, there were parallels, like there's. I think this was out after, drawn between Planet Terror and this because of the shotgun, the machine gun for a leg,
aye,
in Planet Terror and things like that. There's not much crossed over other than that. I don't think
right.
In the actual story or anything like that. And Planet Terror is far better made, even though it is made to look like a B movie. You know what I mean? It's very conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, I think they're a bit more honest with where they're coming
from.
Yeah, it's the same with Kill Bill. I know you weren't the biggest fan of that, but to me, that is what he's doing with that. You know, it's kind of like here's this film I've made. He's very upfront with here's my inspiration. You know, here's where I got like this. From go and check it out. I think these movies are awesome.
Yeah,
as you say, not particularly original. Although I mean, still his dialogue's always usually sharp. But he can pull, you know, he can pull it off.
Yeah,
stuff he does. But I get what you're saying. You know, it's very
At least those films have like good characters.
Yeah,
you can relate to it. This film doesn't even try to endear its characters. It just assumes you're gonna be with them the whole way because this is fun. Hey.
I mean, I said to you before that I think like the guy that plays Amy, the main character, does kind of put her heart and soul into what she's got.
Right.
You know, I think she pulls it off fairly convincingly. Most of it, as I say, she did. It looked like most of her own stunts you know, for what there was in. It's quite a physical role. And as I said, she's basically just like, she has basically come from a background in lingerie modelling.
Mm.
You know, something that would have been like Nuts or FHM.
Mm.
So you kind of, she's fairly believable.
Aye.
In what she's got to play with, if you know what I mean. Yeah. What do you think of the finger eating sushi bit? Yeah, and it was played very.
Ah. I don't know. There was only one bit that I laughed.
Right. What was?
There was one funny line in it.
Right.
Not that section.
No. Right, hit me. Right.
It's a scene where the other chick that
Mickey.
The team up with, she's hammering nails into that guy's face.
Right.
And what they say, it's got just a funny turn of phrase. Goes, "You nailed me. It's not fair to use a nail."
I literally wrote that down. I thought that was hilarious. It's like, "You nailed me." Is that because, like, he's totally like, "You can't do nothing to make me talk. There's nothing you can do."
It's not fair to use a nail.
Oh man. What did you think?
No, the rest of the abs.
There's a few. I've got to admit, like, I thought there was a lot of bits that made me chuckle. Nothing out loud crazy, but like the bit where when she's sitting at the table with the parents, as I say, that go to attack her, and she says about going to the police, and the dad says, "We've been in the police business for a while now." It's so fucking stupid. What?
Yeah.
And then they fucking go mental on her. The bit where she's spraying the son's blood into the dad after he's asked for conditioner. It's just totally there. Again, it's like, it really did make you, I suppose, think about the way they filmed it, but, you know, it's for laughs.
Mm.
But I thought it was quite funny. And the junior high shuriken gang.
Right.
Why were they attacking them?
Mm.
They didn't seem to have any affiliation.
Mm.
And then, like, I thought the bit where she peeled, they got this peeled skeleton guy, I thought that was pretty funny.
Right.
No?
Didn't
just
even
the way it was, just the way it was wobbling about, I just thought that looks kind of funny.
Yeah. I can see again that it assumes you're going to like it.
Yeah. Well, that was
it. Doesn't he make you like it? This is crazy, batshit crazy. I like this.
I wouldn't go too far to say I liked the film, but I thought it was funny at bits.
Right.
Just the absurdness of it is like, all of a sudden they've got all the parents of those like children together, and they form the Super Mourner Gang.
Right.
It's just like, was that, you know, why? You know, no, nothing, Gary, nothing.
Nope, nothing.
What did you think of the drill, bruh? See, you're impressed.
Mm.
Did you see it coming?
Annoyed me. No, I didn't see it coming.
Ah, well, that's good. Yeah. It annoyed you?
Aye.
Did it annoy you?
I don't know. I just kind of.
I prefer soft bras.
It just made me think about the sexual politics of the film.
Mm.
In a sense, it's on the face of it, you think, oh, empowered female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Progressive, yeah. But it's really just playing to a teenage boy audience.
I mean, why is she still in her school uniform the whole time?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's.
I mean, yeah, and to some extent, that's all the history of exploitation, scantily clad women.
Yes,
but,
okay.
This film seemed to premised on the fact that it might be a progressive film.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, okay.
And it quite had quite a lecherous tone in places, I think. Maybe I've just been hypercritical of it because I didn't like it for the start.
Whereabouts do you think it was?
Just some of the, it had a lot of kind of allusions, like lesbian allusions.
You see, what did you say? Lecturous?
Aye.
I thought you said lecturous.
Oh,
thought,
right, no.
As if it was preaching.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, like with Amy's wee friend who ends up getting defiled after death.
Yeah.
Like that scene, like, just made me chuckle because, like, the guy just says it's not often you get to do a schoolgirl, and then you see the guys in the background and they're starting to unbuckle their trousers and you see them kind of huddling as if they're like, oh, right, what are you gonna do? Yeah, it just looks so fucking stupid. So again, I think in that way it kind of is trying to to the piss, but yeah, no, I see what you mean.
Some of the gore is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I thought I wrote down, like, It's about the beginning where she kicks a pole that's in someone's mouth right through the back of his skull.
Right.
And I wrote, you know, it's in these kind of films, people seem to have like paper thin bodies, like
right.
you know, no substance to them. You can just you can put your hand through them and stuff like that. But the bit where she gets stabs the mum of that wee the first boy's the blood conditioner family.
Right.
She stabs the mum in the back of the head with a knife. It comes out through her mouth.
Right.
There's a little just that kind of reminded me of something from like. Fulci, kind of, you know, the kind of intestines coming out.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. That's vomit gore.
Right.
I remember being, and I was this time when I watched it, quite disappointed at the, when she loses her arm.
Right.
Because she gets her fingers chopped off, and that's quite a cool, well, it's a fairly cool scene, and she's obviously, like, as if they're going to torture her for a while.
Yeah.
And then that stupid bitch trips him up and his blade just happens to cut her arm off. It seems a bit pointless.
Yeah.
You know? You think they could come up with a better way to do it than that. First time I watched it, I remember thinking it was her arm was going to get fried. You know, when that happened, and then she was just going to cut it off herself or something like that. There's a line near the beginning where she's talking to those bullies and she says that she didn't used to be a murderer or something.
Right.
And then she says, and I also used to be able to hold my baby brothers in my left arm. It's just so, it's like, what? Awesome. I often enjoy holding my baby brother in my left arm. In summation, I concluded that it was stupid as hell, but kind of funny. Something you could watch quite happily after a couple of beers and just have it in the background.
Right.
I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. I think that's I've watched it one more time than I thought I would watch it. So I got my £8 worth. Again, this was a while ago, you know, when Blu-rays were still 20 quid. So, you know, it was a good price that. Think you'll ever watch it again, Gary?
I don't know. Can safely say, like, I'll never watch it again.
What if, like, for the anniversary episode, I'll say we're going to watch a couple of films again?
Oh, yeah.
See if we've changed our minds on them, and I pick this one.
Maybe we'll have to watch it then.
They're going to say, oh, that's the fucking end of the podcast, isn't it? Well, at least I know you're open to things, man. Well, I should probably just have done this at the beginning of the episode, in case anyone's a bit kind of pissed off. Sorry. I just wanted to see what Gary thought of this, because we've done, you know, so many films we've both liked, or, you know, I've been in kind of sure and things like that, and I just wanted to file this on to you.
Right.
Can I also add the, in the UK anyway, even the Blu-ray looks shitty.
Right.
It's not a very good Blu-ray at all, so maybe I didn't get my £8 worth. Is this the worst film you've ever seen?
The worst film? It's probably not the worst. It's definitely one of the most offensive and insulting. since I saw James Cameron's Avatar have I been so
Wolf, that's controversial.
Controversial.
Never seen it myself.
I felt it insulted my intelligence. it's not the worst because it was intentional, I think.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
So it's not quite so bad, it's good, it's just bad.
Aye.
But it was kind of meant to be bad, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird because you get films that are just bad, right? Sure. You get films that are just... Give us an example of a film that's just bad. Maybe it wasn't intentionally made to be bad, but it was just bad. Yeah. Probably pick any of the... Well, especially maybe the other thoughts one was about it. The scary movie
or
like, you know, disaster movie films that
Aye.
They're trying to be good. You know what
well.
I mean? Well, they're trying to be funny. Aren't they?
I guess.
But they are trying to be funny.
Right.
So in that way, mostly I would say they don't succeed. So that's a bad film.
It's kind of the absolute bottom. Wrong in the ladder
right,
in terms of humour.
My point is, you get films that are set out with good intention but end up bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get films that are trying to be bad No, you get films that are bad. They're so bad that they're good. Something like Island of Death.
Aye.
Right, yeah. That's like, that was almost set out, that wasn't necessarily set out to be bad, but it is bad, but it's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of history of exploitation as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to, again, making a sincere, making,
yes, yes,
expecting to make a good film.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing on tropes of what's, what is
a, this is a film that's intentionally trying to be bad.
Yes.
And still ends up bad. Mm. So it's going for the so bad it's good, but it gets the bad. Because it's bad.
Leads on to another debate. That,
oh, does it, Gary?
It was on the podcast Battleship Pretension.
Near original ideas, Gary. Just claim it as your own.
But they were kind of talking about, is it fair to hate a film?
Is it what? Fair to hate?
Yeah. This is based on a conversation someone had with Quentin Tarantino, who was saying, basically, it's not worth hating a film because even if a film's really bad, there's something, there is some worth in it, in the fact that you can learn what not to do. And he was saying he's learned more from bad movies than from good.
Sure. Well, I mean, something, again, like, mate, there is a link, honest. I'm not just bringing up Kevin Smith for the sake of it, but because Kevin Smith and Tarantino are fairly, acquaintances or whatever, friends, one might even say. But he brought up the point as well, like, especially in later life, he finds it hard to hate or, like, diss a film, just straight out diss a film, because at the end of the day, you have to remember that there's been so many people worked on that film, mm-hmm. and they have put an effort into it, however, you know what I mean? And it's not easy to make a film, you know what I mean? So you kind of have to give props that it's even made, however bad it is. So I can kind of see that, but as you see this, you can kind of do that if there's sincerity there and they're setting out to do something, and if it turns out bad, then, you know, fair enough. I mean, I wouldn't say I hate this film, but I don't. It's not one of my favourites.
Right.
You know? Would you say you hate this film?
I think I would say.
You'd say you hate it? But you just made a point and you said you couldn't hate the film. You don't agree with that then?
No, I don't say that I agreed with that.
No, I'm just asking. So you disagree, you think you can
hate films?
I think
you can. Not for only if, in cases like this, there is something brought into the... It's nothing to do with the actual medium, necessarily.
Yes.
It's just the intention, the authorship of the film. Like, it's maybe fair to... If a film is racist, it's maybe fair to hate Buffer Nation, for example, or Song of the South.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because they're not just about racism, they actually are racist.
Right. Yeah. You've seen Song of the South racist, eh?
Essentially, because it says it kind of portrays slaves as being happy with their wanting life.
Right.
I'm a slave. It's cool. I'm just singing. That's if I do that. You know what I mean? It's all good.
All right, okay. Right.
How racist it is. I mean, sure. I've seen worse. I think arguably Gone with the Wind is worse. And it's portrayal of its slave characters. I think on those grounds it's fair to hate a film.
Mm-hmm. I get you. I still come at it like from the point that I think he was trying to do something funny.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's been very skilled at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It apparently says, you know, the idea for the film came, it was a simple idea, he says. He had about a one-armed girl in a bikini looking for revenge.
Right.
So this guy like came from making like porn films, basically, right? And one of his kind of more notorious porn films was called, and I'll read some of the names out in a wee second, right? But this one was called, and I think this might be the best one ever, Final Pussy. Yeah, where the main actress basically played a character who, as a result of a military experiment gone wrong, obviously, because who would want this, has guns burst from her breasts when sexually aroused. Now, the effects, the makeup, the gore and everything was done by the same guy that did the effects and stuff for Machine Girl.
Right.
So to me, that's kind of where the birth of this film came from,
right?
that kind of thing. I don't know how much he'd done of that kind of thing previously. Certainly most of his adult films seem to be in the toilet-obsessed area. Yeah. I'll read some of the titles out, will I, Gary?
If you want.
I will, don't worry, I do. We go from everything from Pretty Wife 13, fairly that's right, to I Wanna Suck, to Wives Are Often Liable to Be Done Enema, Pink Pudding, Rest Beautiful Young Lady Stools Lolita Lavatory, Enema Shame Zone 13, Beautiful Girl Excretion School, Japanese Beauty Girl plus Buckache Volume 2, Beautiful Girl in the Toilet 2, Secret Excrement. You know what I mean? Younger Sister Really Lewd Speech Persecution. Celebrity Senorita Take Your Clothes Off. Everyone Makes Me in Ecstasy. First Come Inside. Excellent Pussy. I mean, and finally, Veterinary Pet Beauty Big Bust with Cast Teacher. Oh, and Hypertrophy Genitals Girl. I mean, what else is there to say?
Mm.
So, to me, I don't know if he's smart enough to do what you're saying. You know what I mean? I mean, his mainstream films haven't been much better, like names-wise. I mean, recently he's done Zombie Ass and Dead Sushi.
Mm.
So, although the film that he made after Machine Girl called Robo Geisha sounds pretty interesting.
Right.
I don't know. So, next time on Cinema Subculture. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up on this.
Didn't really have much to say about that, unfortunately, for me.
No, I think we still haven't managed to have a conversation about it. I think it's important to point out the kind of the bad side of extreme cinema. Would you say this film is classed as extreme in its kind of content?
Maybe.
I mean, there's extreme elements in
it. It seems one of its mandates is how shocking can we be. And it does succeed to some extent in that. I was like, that is, props, kind of, that is...
Kind of shocking?
Or... No, I wouldn't necessarily because the tone is kind of funny, but it is it's a cut above, it's definitely a cut above, like, the mainstream horror, what you might see in horror, but takes it to one notch up, but...
So I think it's important to, let's say, like, we're not, like... People might criticise us for watching extreme cinema. Right. Might criticise people. But the point is we're not just going to love everything that happens to have loads of gore in it or, you know what I mean, questionable themes. There's a dark side to extreme cinema. and this may very well be it, this kind of thing. Here endeth the lesson.
Right.
See how I made that seem like I did that intentionally? Got it? Would you not agree? It's kind of important to say that we're not. We're not gore hounds necessarily, or you know what I mean. We're not just going to accept anything.
No,
there has to be quality.
Yeah, it's kind of how I approach you on my film. For me, it's the quality of the film. I love horror, but I'm not a guy that is looking for the conventions just to see it every time and time again.
Of course.
If it's not a good film in itself, then I'm not that bored. We are kind of have some integrity in our film criticism.
Yeah, I think so.
We're not just going to heap praise on stuff for the sake of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely the kind of extreme of the other side of the scale compared to some of the films we've done recently.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? If you class them as 10 out of 10, you know what I mean? This is like the complete other side. So it's worth seeing if just to say don't watch it to other people.
Right.
I think that's about it. I don't think there's much other merit in it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an 18, isn't it?
Aye.
If you're over 15, I think, you're too old for this.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know what else to say, guys.
Yeah, I'm out as well.
Yeah, don't watch it. Don't watch one of his porn movies, man. They're probably better.
Yeah.
You see some tits in that. That's an ass. TNA. You know what I'm saying, Gary? TNA. That's what I was missing for this film. See if there's some TNA in it. I wouldn't be sitting here, Gary. Yeah. I'd be still be watching it. Right. Shall we move on? I believe there may be a wee surprise in store for our listeners.
There is.
For this next section.
What could it be?
Well, I don't know, Gary. What could it be? Could it be something that you might not be expecting? It's a little bit random, Gary.
It's something you were busting my balls
right,
about getting done.
Stunning right on them. Kind of just joking. Kind of wish I'd said just joking afterwards.
And, all sorts of things.
Yeah. Basically, Gary's came up with some theme music. Aye. For the old random shit.
A jingle.
A jingle. You might even say a jingle. So here goes as we move into
random shit.
Hello and welcome to Random Shit. That was our new intro music.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to hit us up on the email and let us know what you think of that. Gary's standing with bated breath. As usual, the email address is... Sorry, Gary, you want to say something?
No, I'm good.
I think you're going to dive in there.
No.
All right. Maybe in a moment, Gary will tell us his inspiration for the tune.
Right.
Which I thought was me after from another episode looped. But apparently, no, it's a voice generator. The email address is cinema_subculture@hotmail.com. The Facebook is facebook.com/cinemasubculture. Be sure to give us a like, and any feedback always welcomed, especially on this new theme tune music type thing. Gary, where did you come up with this? And how long did it take you?
It took me a whole 10 minutes. Yep.
10 minutes?
See, that's my genius, you know.
Well, I've said it before, Gary, and I've said it in the past.
Don't know where it came from, really.
I'll say it again. You don't know where it came from?
Somewhere deep.
Did it come from me saying, just loop me saying random shit? Is that where it came from?
It was meant as a partner piece to the intro music.
Oh, yeah.
With the guitar.
Aye. I can hear that.
Can you hear it, yeah?
I can. I'm not looking at me as if to say, you're taking the fucking pish. No, I swear to you, I can hear it. Yeah, you can hear the kind of ding in the back. I think it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think over time, Gary, it will become, in the pantheons of music, a classic. And when the awards for best
classic
podcast music comes out,
right,
it will be a close second to the main cinema subculture.
At least among the cinema subculture themes, it's up there.
It's definitely number two or one.
Oof, yes.
It's definitely one or two, man. Definitely. I'm not going to go on record, you know, putting my eggs in one barrel as saying which of the one or two. Maybe you would like to say that, but yeah, it was good. So, what are we doing the day then, Gary?
Have we got some news?
We can have if you want.
Yep. You want to go?
Okay, I'll go. So I've but one solitary piece of news this week, Gary. Although to be fair, it's like massive news in the life of me, anyway.
Yep.
There's been one film, Gary, that I've wanted to see on the big screen since I was like, I'd say maybe like 14 or 15. And it slowly creeped its way into being at that time, and probably now, definitely one of my favourite horror films ever. Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, is being re-released to the big screen in the UK. I've known for a while they were doing a release in the States, and we didn't think there was much chance it was coming to the UK, but it is indeed, and it's coming courtesy of Showcase Cinemas. There's a bunch of screens all over the UK. If you go to showcasecinemas.co.uk, you'll find it there. I've booked my tickets. It's actually on Halloween, which is awesome, because they seem to, like, when they put it on TV around about Halloween, they never put it on Halloween. It, or, like, you know, like, they've got Hellraiser on Halloween. Oh, what film will we put on Halloween? What have we got? We've got Halloween or we've got Hellraiser. Yeah. Well, that's Bobby. You know, and Bobby's like, oh, Hellraiser? So, it's actually on Halloween. And your fine self is accompanying me, yes. Gary.
I've only seen the film once.
Yeah, that was with me back in the day off a VHS copy. I don't even think it was a widescreen.
Really? Yeah.
I think that was back in the day when I thought you were losing picture for widescreen.
Right.
watched it in a wee 4:3 telly. Yeah. Remember? Mm. So it'll be an interesting thing. I'm wanting to get you to watch. I've got my Blu-ray, but I've fuck that. I've only seen the big screen. So this is kind of a bit of a big chunk of my lifetime ambition to go and see this film on the big screen. As I said, it's on my bucket list, so this is something finally ticked. It's the only thing that's on my bucket list. It's the only thing I want to do for a day. So yeah, I'm psyched about this. Get your tickets if you want to see it. It's awesome. It's on, I see a bunch of the Showcase Cinemas. We're going to the one in Paisley. If anyone wants to come and peep us, we're at the 9:30 screening. If you want to, you know, come along,
get your pictures taken. It.
I'll be wearing Michael Myers costume. Gary will be going as Sam Loomis, Dr. Loomis, obviously, which he's shaving his hair for.
Yep.
Yeah, and growing a beard. Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's practicing his it's evil speeches. Yeah, so if you see us there, come and say hello. So that's it. I know that was a big ramble of a pish type of news, but I like it. And I'm happy about it, Gary.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, good one there.
I hope you've got some news that will top that, Gary.
Well, probably not.
Bugger that, you'll never top it, Gary. I'm not even listening to your news, I'm turning this off. That's the end, goodbye, welcome to...
Mine's all in the world of Blu-ray.
All right.
Release news. Well, Blu-ray. Actually, one of them's a TV-related item.
Oh, really?
It is.
That's unusual,
that's
Gary.
That's first time. Eh?
Aye, don't like it.
Right, so Dark Knight Rises, yes. Blu-rays was announced this past week there. Sure. A number of different versions available.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Have you seen that? Have you decided what one you'll be?
Well, it seems that I didn't know there was more than one version.
Here's the options. Okay,
well, I only know two versions. One was the trilogy box.
Right, aye.
Okay, go for it.
You've got your standard Blu-ray. You've got your trilogy. You've got Steelbook version.
What was he getting Steelbook from?
It's maybe an American one.
I saw a Germany Steelbook
maybe.
One.
You've got your Digibook.
Nice. A Digibook?
Yes.
Oh, what?
I think that's a Target, maybe.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You've got your one that comes with a Bane figure.
All right.
You've got your Kill edition.
Sure, saw that one. Did actually see that one.
And, well, I was hoping for the trilogy. I was looking for that.
Uh-huh.
Because I haven't got any other ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, I saw it and it's like, nice book comes with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, all right, I'll get that. But on the wee press release, it says at the bottom, Ultimate Collector's Edition coming in 2013.
Oh, no way.
Which pissed me off a bit, to be honest.
Oh, yes.
I mean...
Why? And that's in the press release?
Aye. I mean, I expect studios to continually release their big movies, but to give you all these editions and then say, even if you buy this, there's another one coming, you have to buy later on.
That's pretty bad.
That's good, isn't it?
Aye, it really is. I didn't... As you say,
so, unfortunately, there's no... we don't know what's going to be in that Ultimate Collector's Edition. So I don't know what to do.
I'm just looking at the Digibook, it looks pretty nice, but you know, you don't have Digibooks with the other ones, but I don't know. There is an American Steelbook, apparently.
Aye.
Yeah. And there's the Digibooks Target exclusive. Well, there's two Digibooks.
Oh, aye.
There's one with Bane Batman and one with Bane. Yeah. Sucks. So the Ultimate Collector's Edition is going to be a trilogy?
I would think so, but what else can they put in it? I mean, because it seems like they maxed out the extras. Well,
there's apparently a documentary, a trilogy documentary, but I thought that was going to be on just the Blu-ray.
Right, so that just, what's that on?
I think it might... it's been hinted that it might be like just for the trilogy box.
Right.
But then there's what? Nah, I think I'm sure it was originally announced it was going to be on the Blu-ray.
Okay.
You know, there's a documentary, the trilogy documentary, and it would seem kind of silly to just put it on the trilogy. I don't know. You seen the artwork for the trilogy or for the UK one anyway?
Yeah.
It's just the same artwork they did for the Batman Begins Dark Knight re-release they did the other Steelbook.
Yeah.
Kind of boring, but. I guess the only thing they could really do is, and I don't really see it, to be honest, would be either Nolan commentaries for the films. I doubt that. Or like a director's cut of the films.
Right.
Like apparently there's quite a bit of footage not in Dark Knight Rises. So I could see that happening. But other than that, I don't know. I think I'll probably just buy standard edition.
Yeah.
Blu-ray. I quite like the Steelbook, and I've got the Steelbook for the other two, as well as standard edition Blu-rays, so I'll see what happens with that, but it'll take something. Hopefully there'll be something good in the Ultimate Edition to entice you in.
I don't know, hopefully it's not just like, I'm not interested in these Batboard edition or Cowl edition type things. I might just go for the trilogy as it is. I don't know.
Depends how much it is. If it's a decent price, they're not ripping you off too much for it. If you've not got any of them, go for that. I think. Because even if it comes to it and it is something amazing in the Ultimate Edition,
yeah. The word collectors,
yeah,
is a nod towards something like a statue type presentation or something. I would think. Okay, so Warner Brothers. I think it's our 90th anniversary next year.
Right.
They've announced a few titles coming out in Blu-ray. Some titles I'm excited about. Three James Dean films.
All right.
Finally coming to Blu-ray. Giant, Rebel Without a Cause and East of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a collector's edition, 8-disc or something.
Oh, really?
All the like documentaries and stuff about James Dean.
Holy shit.
So, sounds quite good.
Yeah.
There's also The Jazz Singer is coming to Blu-ray. Like that.
Oh, no. Don't know what it is.
It's thought of as the first talkie.
All right.
Even though it doesn't actually have any dialogue in it. Your first sound film was Don Juan.
Okay.
But that only had sound effects.
Then
The Jazz Singer it was Al Jolson that was in it, and he sings in it. But the rest of the film's silent.
Right.
And also, they're doing couple of gangster collections, 4-disc box sets. The second one is some of the classic gangster films, Public Enemies, White Heat, Little Caesar, The Petrified Forest.
Sorry, is Public Enemies, is that like, is the Christian Bale film a remake of that?
I think it's just the same title.
Oh, right.
Was that Public Enemies? Right, the first one was Public Enemy.
Ah, sorry, right, got you.
I think,
it's a sequel, that's what you're saying.
yep.
From the horse's mouth.
Okay, and yesterday, that was Monday the 8th.
Sure.
You had your Masters of Cinema titles for January and February 2013. Mm-hmm. There's a couple I'm definitely picking up there. It was Fear and Desire. We knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming, huh?
Onibaba.
Mm-hmm.
And The Blue Angel, I think I'll probably pick up. Fear and Desire is interesting. It's got some extra features that isn't going to be on the Kino.
Oh, right.
So, it's worth getting that one, probably.
So, Kino were the ones that we saw the pictures of the restoration?
Aye.
Yeah.
It's the same version,
right,
aye.
That's good. That's fine.
Aye. Yep.
Cool.
And some TV news.
All right, I'm excited.
There's a new series coming to BBC 4. Horror Europa.
All right.
It's about history of European horror.
Sure.
It's by Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, he did some stuff before.
That History of Horror series, yes. It was on a couple of years ago. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I kept catching like, odd episodes of that, and like not really knowing when it was on, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been when it was repeated, actually, so it was kind of sporadically put on. But I know it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was quite good. It's quite a sort of a personal approach. Kind of, he was telling you about how he grew up watching Hammer films and stuff like that. So it was films he kind of liked that he put in. But pretty good. I think this maybe is a bit narrower. So, sure. I mean, the last one was 3 hours and it was the history of horror.
Yes.
So there's not much space there to work. But maybe I'll get more in-depth for this
one. When is this airing, do you know?
I think it's the end of the month it starts.
Probably for collision with Halloween. Oh, that's awesome. You need to give me a reminder so that I remember it's something to give it a watch, man. We can update people to what it's like. did you see Dial In For Murder was out?
I did.
Did you see the review?
I saw it get quite a poor review on Blu-ray.com.
Yeah. Two.
Series Ringing.
Two and a half out of five for the old picture.
But yeah, I saw people talking about this, how the discrepancies between some bad reviews on Blu-ray.com and some other sites like DVD Beaver.
Yeah. I actually noticed this a lot actually recently. Like, I can't remember what I was looking up, but I was finding like 1 out of 5s. And then I'd find like 5 out of 5, you know, literally that bit of a discrepancy between people. That it's hard to say, isn't it? It's a nice rough guide to go by, but you just kind of tell sometimes. I mean, like the Universal Monsters box set and some reviews there, and the Wolfman was given like a kind of 3.5 out of 5 because of some serious haloing.
Right.
I mean, I looked at the screenshots, and I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I looked at some of the screenshots and I really couldn't see necessarily what they were, you know what I mean?
Hi.
So I mean, I've not seen any other reviews of that, but it seems to be there's quite a lot of a wide view on different things, you know what I mean? So were you seeing other reviews of it, Dial In For Murder?
I think I read the Beaver one, that was pretty favourable.
Right.
Well, didn't mention it.
Right.
But I did notice it quite bad in the screenshots.
I never looked at screenshots for it. I'm looking at it right now and I can see.
Aye.
Yeah.
But then people were talking about how they have different setups in the sense, I think the Blu-ray.com guy uses a projector, whereas the Beaver's just a big TV.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not right in saying like when you're projecting like stuff, like HD stuff anyway, it can kind of cause those kind of artifacts sometimes.
Don't know.
I mean, obviously, I don't know what the guy's setup's like, but I guess you'd have to have it set up well. Don't know. But it'd be interesting to see. As I say,
it kind of just shows you the kind of Ostrich reviews.
Do you like that film, Dial In For Murder?
I like it a lot.
No, just it only got a 3 for the film as well.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
So,
that's a bit harsh.
Yeah. I don't know. As I say, each to their own. But I just thought I'd mention Hitchcock.
Right.
So a stable should have Hitchcock minute. We should have like or a couple of minutes. Anyway, shall we move on to pickups since we've just waffled for half an hour?
Right.
40 minutes.
Let's get them done.
Right. I've got one. Oh, two. I've got two. Picked up the Universal Monsters box set. Very last minute. In fact, it was out already when I decided to pick it up. But I just thought, fuck it. So I wanted to get that. I've only watched Dracula so far, but it looks really good. The Spanish version actually looks, in some scenes, a lot better.
Oh, does it?
It's weird because I think the Dracula was taken from a positive.
All right.
An iterate positive. I don't know. It doesn't really mention much about the elements for Dracula, but actually, the opening title music had a bit of a key change, as if the original recording had fucked up a wee bit.
Right.
And luckily it was the same music that was on the Spanish version. It was perfect.
Oh, right, okay.
So they just copied the same piece of music kind of thing. So it's quite interesting how it's worked quite symbiotically like that. Apparently they were saying that the Spanish version was actually better received critically at the time.
Right.
You know, it was lauded as a better made film.
All right.
Certainly the performances that I've seen and the bits that I've watched of it are a little more emotive, you know, with it being like a span, you know, it's and like the kind of, like the Mina character wears slightly sexier clothes, you know, a little more kind of, what's the word, provocative for the kind of vampire, kind of traditional vampire thing you would think of. it's quite weird seeing it back to back, you know, like kind of the same scene, the same sets.
Right, yeah.
The guy that plays Dracula in it looks a bit goofy though.
Okay.
In some scenes he does look kind of like Lugosi, you know, but he's got kind of weird teeth and big ears, like massive ears, and he looks a bit goofy, so he kind of ruins it a wee bit. But really nice set.
Yes.
Yeah. You can tell more about it if you want.
I also picked it up as well.
Yeah.
I think it looks great. I love the design of the passion. One thing, Quan, was the outer sleeve's a bit thin.
Yeah.
Could have bulked up that cardboard, couldn't they?
Definitely. But overall, I mean, the book and everything's gorgeous. And, it's quite a nice fold-out packaging. And as I say, I think the discs in the US only had were black with just the writing on them.
Right.
I think, from what I saw. Whereas we've got kind of, like, cover artwork on discs, and pretty nice. I also picked up this documentary, which is Never Sleep Again. It's a documentary on the Nightmare on Elm Street series as a whole. It's a 240-minute documentary.
All right.
It's quite a wee bit length, anyways. It covers the whole series. Apparently, it's like the best kind of documentary made in a horror series ever, kind of thing.
Is there something like that on any of the Blu-rays? Because I thought... Is it the same title with a different...
Freddy thing? No, I don't think it's the same title, no, because this has only been released in DVD so far.
Oh,
There is something else. There is something called, like, something named like that. Yeah, because it's one of three featurettes.
It's not long, I don't think.
It may be an excerpt from it.
Aye.
I don't know, but this was only made... I think this might have been released after the Blu-ray came out. But it's apparently really in-depth. I mean, there's two discs and things like that, and there's the actual... I thought it said the runtime is 240 minutes. I thought it was everything. That's apparently just the documentary.
All right.
So it's pretty cool. Haven't watched it yet, but some nice sleeve thing. I got the US one because the UK one didn't have the poster and stuff. The poster. I like posters, Gary.
Do you ever put them up?
No.
Just to keep them, aye?
Just keep them.
Aye.
It's a point in putting posters up. You stupid. I used to put posters up and then they'd fall down and get ripped and shit.
That's right.
I want that.
Aye.
I like them where I can't see them. And can they see it?
Just imagine them.
That's it. I can't what they look like.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So, right. What about yourself? That's my mini haul.
I'm back on track this week, Simon.
Ah, here we go, Gary.
That I've got some DVDs.
Right.
Just two Godard titles that have been on my wish list ages. Just for special features. This is Breathless 50th Anniversary Edition from Optimum Region 2. Just had a couple of things I haven't seen. So
nice.
Picked it up. And I also got Lash and Waz, the Region 1 edition, which it's some... wee interview clips and stuff. Turned out to be a wee bit disappointing. They're only like 2 minutes long each.
Oh, really?
But I gambled. But
was it expensive or?
It's £10 something.
You win some, you lose some, Gary.
Also partook in the Disney 2 for 1 sale.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I got Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
And also got 101 Dalmatians, but that's not here yet.
All right, cool.
Yep, that's Blu-ray, by the way.
Oh, just in case he's wondering.
And I've got some Masters of Cinema Blu-rays.
Aye, you have indeed.
Aye.
Was there an offer on?
No. Well, the Steelbook, I got, I pre-ordered that back in July.
Really?
Remember that the HMV had 20% off? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I ordered 4 Masters of Cinema Steelbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to $14.40 each.
Very good.
That's a good deal. Mm-hmm. This is a testament to Dr. Mambusa.
Oh, yeah, huh?
It's quite a nice steelbook, although it's one of the ones we know doesn't have the name of the film, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Did that with Cleopatra as well. Get the name on it, boys.
Good take, again. You know what I mean? Waste of space.
Aye. It's quite a good addition. It's an older transfer from 2000, I think, the restoration, but it looks pretty decent. It's fairly beat up, it's from different sources and stuff, but it looks alright. It's got a commentary, but the commentary's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not stacked, but it's worth getting, I think. And I also got the two Antonioni
Blu-rays,
Lea Miki and La Signora Senza Camellia in Italian. These are quite good. His earlier work, before he really discovered his own style, but quite good. I've been getting into the master cinema, kind of picking up more of them. And two Criterions.
Oh, sneaky.
Yeah. Howard's End, that's one I've been wanting for a while. Like, I didn't get it in the sale, but the reason I got it is there's been a bit of a rights issue that's come up with this. Merchant Ivory Productions, who own the rights, started a legal battle with Janus Films. Janus Films is the American theatrical distributor, who distributes a lot of like older art house stuff, and they kind of work with partner with Criterion. So if it gets, if Janus distributes it theatrically, it often happens that Criterion put it out on video, on video. And so supposedly Janus Films have been distributing this film even though the contract's expired.
Oh, right, right.
So they're not happy. So I don't know what's going to happen. It might not even affect the Criterion release down the line, but I wanted to pick it up just so I had it. And another Criterion, Chungking Express, which just went out of print.
Oh, right.
Totally out of the blue. Yeah, I don't even like this film, really.
But it's still sealed.
I don't know.
You're going to flip it, aren't you? He's going to try and
pump... I don't
know. See, try and pump
£150 the reason I wanted to buy it was so they have the option. Because I hate whenever a Criterion Blu-ray is going out of print, I think it's worth getting. The one that annoys me is The Man Who Fell to Earth, which haven't they got? It goes for like £100. So even more than that, maybe. So, don't know what I'll do with that. Just sit on it for a while, I think. I've got it if I want to own it. That's all I've got.
That's all you've got?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Oh, so and you got the Universal.
Oh, Universal Monsters.
Yeah. You watched any of them yet?
I haven't, no.
No. Some pretty extensive special features, like Frankenstein, things like that.
Like two commentaries a piece on a lot of the films,
eh? It was like a 90-minute documentary by Kenneth Branagh on Frankenstein. But it's not just on Frankenstein, it's on Frankenstein disc, but it's on all the Universal film horror films. So, shall we wrap this turkey in tinfoil? All I can say is sorry. You know,
you're not picking again, Simon.
That's not, hey, it served its purpose. You know what I mean? Give us a week after the serious, you know, like newborn porn and you know, cutting labia off or clitoris off. So you know what I mean, it served its purpose.
Yep.
Gives us a wee flavour. What is it? It's cleansed the palate.
Right.
There you go, guy. That's
like
what
a sorbet.
Like a sorbet or a fine wine. Right. Or like some Lambrini. So, I believe there's a certain time a year coming up soon, Gary, and we're going to be doing a kind of Halloween special. It's going to be a regular episode, because the film still kind of comes under the cult films and, you know, outside the mainstream. You maybe guess whose choice this is. I'm not going to say, Gary. I'm not going to say at all. Right. You know, could be anybody's choice. But we're going to be looking at Halloween 3, which is, as probably a lot of people know, is one of the, is the odd one out in the Halloween series. Kind of interesting to look at. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I haven't either.
It was directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, who actually was the editor for Halloween.
All right.
He also worked with Carpenter on Assault on Precinct 13 and Dark Star. He actually also donned the mask a couple of times in the original Halloween as Michael Myers. Yeah, so tune in. Special Halloween episode.
So join us next time on Cinema Subculture. Thanks for listening, and
it's not fair to use a nail.
It was a nightmare.